You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Tourette's Association of New Zealand has recently launched a petition asking for the Ministry of Health to recognise Tourette syndrome as a physical disability. I spoke to Robin Twemlow and Sean Windmill, who is a person with Tourette syndrome, about why the lack of support services currently available is something that needs to be addressed.
Would you just mind telling our listeners who might not be aware a bit about what Tourette syndrome is and what that means, I guess, for you specifically?
Yeah, so Tourette's syndrome is a neurological condition that basically kind of causes a bunch of physical and motor tics, which are kind of non-voluntary movements or sounds that can be something as simple as just blinking your eyes too much, to shouting out full sentences, to sometimes getting body paralysis tics where you can't move your legs or walk. And they very much range all over the place and can be pretty unpredictable.
With the Tourette's Association of New Zealand, what prompted you to want to start this?
Well, my daughter was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome when she was 9. And at the time, when I went searching for some help and support, there was nothing. So as needs must, I just sort of started up my own association and went seeking other parents. And at the time, it was obviously very new. So the people that were contacting me had lived with Tourette's for a long time. And then there were some new people that might have had kids or might have only been diagnosed for a year or so. And then it's just growing now that we're generally speaking the first port of call when, say, parents start noticing their kids starting to tick or what have you. So they tend to come to us first because we are the only sort of support or information service out there for people living with Tourette syndrome or to any tick disorder, really.
And you're calling for the Ministry of Health to recognise Tourette syndrome as a disability. Why is it important for Tourette's to be officially recognised as a disability?
So obviously, Sean and I have slightly different stories in that I'm a parent of a child with Tourette syndrome. Annalise, as I say, was 9 when she was diagnosed. It took a few years to get that diagnosis. Fortunately, we were already in the mental health system, but she has ADHD and anxiety as well. But at the time, her tics were quite severe. She couldn't walk. She wasn't going to school very often. She was hurting herself a lot. So the only sort of management we were given was medication, and one was an antipsychotic, and the other one was to lower blood pressure. So the theory being that they would just, you know, suppress the tics and that type of thing. If we'd had funding available, like disability funding, for example, we would have had other options. We would have been able to get cognitive therapy as opposed to just pharmaceutical therapy. She may have been then able to qualify to go to health school while she was missing out on school. Ironically, I was unemployed at the time, which was fortunate because it meant I could care for her at home. I've heard of stories where people have had to remortgage their homes so that they could stay at home with their child when their child hasn't been able to go to school. If it was recognised as a disability, those families could apply for individualised funding or carer support where they could have employed someone to stay home with their kids rather than having to quit their own jobs. Or when I say older, anyone who's over the age of 18, they could get support to move out of home, to get in-home care, to get help with mobility issues, get help with employment. For the Tourette's Association in itself, we rely on fundraising and donations because it's not a disability, therefore we can't apply for health funding.
So Sean, then I guess for you personally as a young person, what would having Tourette's syndrome be considered a disability mean for you in your own life?
It would just open up so many different options and pathways for me. At 19, I'm kind of at the age where I should be looking into moving out and figuring out careers and stuff like that. But I've kind of had to slow all of that down because with how draining and taxing my physical tics can be, I don't have enough energy to do those kinds of things. And sort of basic looking after yourself activities have just become so much harder. I can't consistently cook for myself because handling knives isn't always the safest. There are like basic sort of part-time jobs are just kind of outer limits for me. That it would, yeah, just give me a chance to be able to deal with living until, and so I can focus on those living a regular life.
And what has prevented Tourette's syndrome from being looked at as a disability until now?
One of the issues that has sort of prevented it being looked at as a physical disability was that until quite recently it's still been considered a mental health disorder, but it's not a mental health condition because it is neurological and it's inherited. Quite frankly, no one's ever asked in New Zealand for it to be considered a disability before, so this is sort of the first time that anyone's sort of put it on the table. Yeah,
you get a lot of assumptions, especially I think for the younger folks, that it's behavioural, that you get teachers and even parents and stuff who, even though they see it and they've been told what it is, they just can't seem to figure out that it is fully uncontrollable. And I think also with lots of people who are only tangentially aware of Tourette's, you hear it as the swearing condition first, which I think people don't realise that it is so much more than that. It interferes with a lot of day-to-day living. It's not just occasionally shouting out a rude word or whatever.
And a lot of those tics, you know, can be situational as well. You can shout out stuff that you don't have any intention of saying. I mean, basically, Tourette syndrome is to break it down into the most basic. It's, you know, the filter that we all have in our brain is kind of faulty for people with Tourette. So they might say or do something that the rest of us wouldn't do.
It's kind of like all the background noise in your head that you're not even really aware of gets turned into a word association game. So a lot of the time, like, it will sound like I'm ticking, like I'm actually saying something because it fits into the context of the conversation or what's going around, but it's just because that little randomized generator in your head that's going through every single option is just picking one out and making me do it.
Sean, what would your sort of hope for the future as a person living with Tourette's be?
At the moment, just because there aren't that many options, it's so easy to feel like you're the person who's failing at life, that surely if it wasn't your fault, then there'd be help for this kind of thing. And so there actually being help would not only alleviate all the physical pressures, but I think as a person living with it, it would just feel a whole lot better. It would just give me choices in what I want to do instead of just having to settle for what is the only option physically possible to me.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really well said. Really well said, Sean. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robin, just if people want to support the association and the petition, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, which is tourettes.org.nz, because it has the link there to the parliamentary petition, and they can just follow that through from there and just sign it and share it and let everyone else in the world know that we're doing it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.